Good morning. Sound like E.F. Hutton in here a minute ago. Now, for a lot of those may be lost on that, but y'all remember the E.F. Hutton commercials, right? When E.F. Hutton talks, you know, people listen. I think there's a complete generation that's lost to that, so I have to kind of, you know, preface that statement. So if you're online and you're watching, look up the old E.F. Hutton commercial. You'll get it with what's going on. So, like I say, we had a minute or two before we got started, so that we could make sure that our online audience was with us starting at 10:45. So we want to welcome you this morning to Central Baptist Church. We are glad that you're here. Give somebody a wave. Look around. Give them a smile. Give them a wave. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our one and only Dr. John Cazito, who is monitoring our online audience there. If you have any questions or anything that you would like to ask or any needs, you can pose those. If you're part of our online audience to Dr. Cazito, he will either get you an answer or get you an answer. He'll either answer you then or he'll get you whatever answer it is that you need. But we're so glad that you're with us today. This is homecoming for Central Baptist Church for the year 2022. That's hard to believe, isn't it? 2022. Man, time has just been flying by. You know, they always said the older you get, the more intense time passes, and I've found that to be very, very true. It just seems like yesterday in so many ways and so many areas. How many of y'all have, throughout the situation of coming out of the pandemic, have said to somebody, well, I remember last year when it was actually 3 years ago, that something happened? Yeah, it's like this section or segment of time is just completely lost to us. I do that exact same thing. But at any rate, we want to welcome you this morning. We trust that you'll take this opportunity today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, and that's what we look forward to. With everything that is said and everything that is done as we gather together this morning, let's concentrate on the movement of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Let's hear what the Lord has to tell us today, because the Word tells us if we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be open to us. The Lord has a message for each and every one of us today. May we be diligent to concentrate to hear what it is that God has for us today. Let's look to Him in a word of prayer this morning. Father, as we come to You today, we're grateful, we're thankful for this opportunity that You give us to gather. Lord, I pray that we won't take that for granted. I think of many places around the world today who are meeting in situations where they have to meet in underground areas or they have to meet incognito. But Lord, we're blessed with the freedom to be able to worship openly and freely. Lord, help us to never take that for granted. That was a right that was that was purchased for us. And Lord, I pray that we will truly be about the Master's business. Today, as we have gathered together, I pray that You will give us diligence to concentrate upon You. Help us to put aside any distractions and anything that may hinder us from hearing You today. Lord, move in our hearts. Move in our hearts on an individual basis. And then, Lord, we pray that You will move in our hearts corporately, that we might be what You want us to be for the kingdom of Christ. Lord, may we truly be about kingdom work. Help us, Lord, to hear You in every aspect of what we do today. Lord, in just a moment, we're going to worship in song. May we lift our voices from our hearts rather than simply from our heads. Lord, may everything we do honor and glorify You, as Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you. Great to see you all today. And it warms my heart to see JC this morning. So glad to see him. Got to speak with him before. In selecting the hymns this week, I was thinking about homecoming, and I picked hymns that probably been sung by this congregation throughout the years, Trust and Obey, and then On Jordan Stormy Banks. Join me as we stand and sing 447, Trust and Obey.
Thank you. Thank you. You have your Bible this morning. We're going to be looking at passages out of the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 as we come together this morning and as we start to head into this passage. The passage before that deals with those that that showed great faith. I mean, they call it the Hall of Faith in a lot of ways. And as we come out of that, there's a very important concept that I think is vital for each and every one of us, not only on a corporate level, but also on an individual level. Now, as we consider failure, I want us to consider that for just a moment this morning. You know, failure can teach us a lot of things, can it? Yeah, I like that old expression that says, those who have tried something and failed are vastly better off than those who have tried nothing and succeeded. Yeah, you can be a success at not doing anything, but yet you're going to stay in that same place. Now, one of the things that has become more prevalent and relevant in this day and age is that we've been disappointed over the past years, decade. You know, some of us, it goes way back even further. At people who we had a very high respect for who failed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, if somebody just came to your mind when you had this faith, you had this trust, and there was a failure along the way. The time when you said, you know what, I never ever thought I would see so-and-so in that situation or so-and-so in that particular position. You know, what happens is things have gotten tough. I want us to go back for just a moment, and I want us to consider, and I want us to remember when we trusted Christ. How many of y'all can remember that? This is a trick question. Because if you can't remember it, you got to check and make sure that you actually trusted Him at some point in your life, when you ask Him to forgive your sins, to come into your heart and save your soul. We remember that. Remember that joyous moment? Remember that joyous day. Remember the celebration. Lots of people celebrated with you. Mom, dad, Sunday school teacher, preacher, deacons, you know, friends and family. Man, that was such a great day. And all the while, Satan just sat back and laughed. And he said, you go on and enjoy right now. You enjoy this moment because I'm coming after you. Now, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that? You have come to that realization that you enjoyed the time, you enjoyed the moment, and then what happened is Satan kind of showed up in your life in such a way that has shaken your faith. It is shaken. Now, you might not want to admit that. There's a lot of people who wouldn't want to admit that because we put on a really good facade, especially when we're in church. I mean, listen, we need to be able to admit the fact that there are times when we've said, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. If any of us in our lives have ever understood everything that God is doing, I want to talk with you because I need the secret that you have. Because I don't think any of us have ever understood everything that God is doing in our lives. Now, we might be able to look back on it later and say, oh, the aha moments. But there are times that we don't. Now, the issue today, and this is what I want us to get to, because I sat back and I think as I come to you this morning that our church, this is our homecoming. Now, for those of you who may not know what homecoming is, and I will preface this, we have an online audience. We have people who watch from all over the place. And I still remember a guy asking me one time, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, what's homecoming? And I told him what it was. He goes, oh, he said, all I ever remember about homecoming is that you had a football game and you crowned the queen and all that sort of thing. So oftentimes we can get to the point where we use church language that people don't understand. Today is when we celebrate the anniversary of our church. When the Lord planted us, you know, right here in what I call the heart of Oak Ridge to make a difference in people's lives for the gospel message. 1964 is when things happened for our church. Now, we're meeting before that, but yet when it actually came down to this is when we're going to charter as a church and work towards becoming self-sufficient from our mother church, Union Grove, that we appreciate right down the road here. You know, but for these many years, we have worked to be faithful in service to the Lord and the town of Oak Ridge. Now, most of, there's a lot of folks, I can see faces in here that have been here from the start, right, JC? Been here from the beginning. You have seen a lot. You have seen very tough times. That's why I'm just going to call them tough times. When you don't know how you're going to make it from one week to the next as a church body. Times when you counted on God to be able to do and be something very, very special, because without Him, you weren't going to make it. Along the way, Central Baptist Church has also seen tremendous victory. We have seen people trust the Lord. We have been through building programs. We have seen the ebb and the flow of God's Spirit right here in this place. We've seen some great times, haven't we? We've seen some challenging times as well. We've been through some rough and some troubled waters. We've been through some moments and some times and some opportunities where we felt like we just wanted to throw our hands up. And you know what? A lot of people did, didn't they? A lot of people have. Now, you have to understand something. Everybody starts well. It's kind of like when you look at it from an athletic perspective, because, you know, the Bible uses a lot of athletic analogies. Everybody is doing good at the beginning of the game. It's 0-0. Nobody has any, you know, any fouls or violations. If it's a football game, no, it's 0-0. There's no penalties to be assessed or anything yet. You go through the warm-ups, everything's great. You are ready for a good game. And then what happens is, if you've ever been in an athletic competition, you had great and high hopes going in. You felt great. And then what happened was you got the stuffing beat out of you. Anybody familiar with that? All of a sudden, it wasn't quite as fun as it was going to be. All of a sudden, you're sitting there going, what happened? What is going on? And what we begin to do is we will try to assess everything. We will try to make corrections where things didn't go the way that we wanted them to. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want us to understand something as born-again believers, that nothing has ever taken God by surprise. And often those things that happen in our lives are to teach us some great and some valuable lessons. I like what the Word tells us. The Word gives the analogy of Christ, or of a gardener pruning a tree. Now, if you are a gardener, or you are a person who deals with horticulture, you will know and realize and understand that if done properly, I have to add that, if done properly, when you trim a tree or a bush, particularly if it is a fruit-bearing tree, the following year it will come back and it will produce even more. The Lord teaches us that we need to cooperate with His pruning, that we might bring forth not only fruit, but much fruit. So here's my challenge today. And yes, I am going to get to the scripture, but I need to lay this out for us. Everybody starts great. The question is, how are we going to finish? Are we going to finish well? Go with me, if you would, in the Word to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to deal with a few verses at a time. We'll see how far we get. But Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, says this. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, your word truly is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, today I pray that as we have prepared our hearts to gather around you, that we are attentive to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. Lord, I pray that we will assess through the Spirit, not just in our own thoughts and our own minds, but through the Spirit, how we are doing in the race today, Lord, that we might truly finish well for you. Lord, I pray that for these moments you would truly empower me. Bless me as your speaker, that you and you alone truly would be the one that is lifted up and exalted today. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at that, that seems pretty self-explanatory in those particular passages. When we think about the fact that we are in a race, the Lord says, you know, life is a race. There is a beginning and there is an end, isn't it? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, taking eternity out of the picture. But life and mortality as we know it has a beginning and it has an end. If you've ever been to the cemetery, you look on those tombstones, there is a date of birth and a date of death, a beginning and an end. What is taking place? You've probably heard either me or somebody else say before, life is about the dash between those two dates. How did you live your life? What did you do? Yeah, when it comes down to the spiritual side and the spiritual aspect, we have to understand that you and I are running a race. And in the midst of that race, there are rules. You got to run by the rules. You got to play by the rules. You know, if you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're at a track, and a track is a circle most of the time around a football field, and somebody says to you, well, you need to cross the finish line. You can't just go halfway and then cut across the field. There are rules. You have to stay on the track to make the playing field level. Now, here's something that I think that too often we forget as believers. When we are running the Christian race, go back to that verse 1. It says, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. If you're making notes, point number 1 is there are people watching you. There are people watching how you're living your life. If you are professing Jesus in your life, they are looking to see that your life adds up to what your mouth is saying. If you're saying that you trust Jesus, is that evident in the fact of how you live your life? When you say, I am a believer, do they see you being diligent in prayer? Do they see you? Does every ounce of the Holy Spirit just emit from who you are? And by the way, that's not just people watching here. There are people in heaven that are cheering us on today. Do you realize that? I believe that with all of my heart. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, Roy, go on out there and give them heaven. Tell them about it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, when they see victory happen, when they see people obedient to the master, when they see people, they sit there and do the happy dance. And I know we're Baptists, we're not supposed to dance, but I think there's a happy dance in heaven. And they sit back and go, yeah, devil, in your face. So we have to understand today that you and I are being observed on both sides of glory for how we are running this race. The crowd is full. You ever been, some of us have been part of athletic competitions before where all of a sudden you look out and go, mercy, mercy, there's a bunch of people here. The stands are full. Maybe you've been a part of a production, maybe a drama production in your school or in your church, and all of a sudden you looked out and there was more people. There was more people there than Davy Crockett had money. Now, again, some of y'all won't get that. You know, younger crowd, Google it later. And you said, and then what happens is you get nervous, don't you? You start to get nervous when people are watching. You start to get nervous with what's going on because there are people there to watch you, to cheer you on, to be a part of celebrating with you. And here's the really cool part. You don't win every race, do you? You don't win every competition, do you? But the question is, how did you play? Did you play with all of your heart? Did you play fair? We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that are watching how we are living our life. And since then, go back to verse 1. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, if you've looked in certain areas, you will see that there's generally a uniform for many things. And in a lot of cases, there's reason for that uniform. Runners, I mean, they're wearing light clothing. They don't wear a pair of long breeches to go out there and try to win that race. Matter of fact, there was a guy that I still laugh to this day because he was as serious as he could be. He was a runner. That was what he did. He ate, slept, drank, and that dude would just run forever. And he lost a race. You know what? He lost a race one time, and he was discouraged about it. And I was standing there, and the guy said, "What happened, man?" He said, "You usually do really good." He said, "I figured it out." He said, "I wish I'd have known it before I started." The guy said, "Well, what?" He said, "I had a dime in my pocket." And he said, "That dime threw me off balance. It threw me off kilter." And I was sitting there going, "What?" Now, I mean, obviously that wouldn't affect somebody like me, but the bottom line was he had the right equipment. See, when you get ready to go out there and compete, you got to have the right equipment. You know, you got to have the right stuff. And the same holds true in our spiritual walk. You got to have the right equipment. You have to utilize it in a proper way. You have to know and understand how it is used. It says, let us lay aside every weight. If you're going to go out and run a race, you don't put a 60-pound pack on your back, unless you're one of our military guys. You don't go out there to run against somebody in a competition and bring a bunch of weight with you. Why? Because it weighs you down. We understand that, don't we? You know what? We're being taught here in the Word that we need to lay aside the things that hinder us from being everything that Christ wants us to be. Are we standing there with one foot in the world and one foot on the spiritual side of things trying to make both of them work? The Lord said this. Now he mentioned it in regard to mammon or money, but no man can serve two masters. One of those deserves your service. The other one should serve you. And I think that we've gotten to a point in our society in 2022 where what happens is we've got a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? We live for Jesus on Sunday, but we don't live for him on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or any other day of the week. We'll live for him for the first part of the day, or maybe give him an hour on Sunday, but what about after that? Does your life really reflect that Jesus has taken you over? Because I will promise you that Jesus in you will indeed change you. Amen? And you know what? You don't have to be Jim Dobson with Focus on the Family. You didn't have to be Adrian Rogers or some theologian to look out. Because you know what? Even a child will understand the hypocrites in their lives. I've said this a bunch of times. I'm going to say it again. If Jesus is not important to you, it won't be important. He won't be important to your children. If Jesus is not an important part of your life on a daily basis and they see you living it out, then they're not going to either. And what happens is we get to the point and we sit back and say, well, I wonder why we have a generation like we do. You know, really, it's kind of hard to blame the kids when we as parents didn't teach properly. Now, I've said this before. I've told y'all before, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to Awana. I was drugged to Wednesday evening prayer meeting. And I wasn't down with it then. I was the only person I felt like that didn't get to watch The Wonderful World of Disney back in the 60s and 70s. Remember when Tinkerbell would fly around with the wand and do all that? That was about the time we were leaving to head to church. Yeah, missed the Wizard of Oz. I never saw that. But you know, here's a really fun part. I can watch that all I want to now. I can get the DVD if I want to. But let me tell you what I can't undo. I can't go back and undo or redo what happened when I was a child. You can't do it. So the passages are saying we need to lay aside the things that are hindering us. What is hindering you today from being everything that Jesus wants you to be? Now I'm going to get personal here for a minute. Where are you serving Jesus? I don't want to hear I'm too busy, because the Lord didn't say, I want you to serve me unless you have a tight schedule. The Lord didn't say, I want you to serve me if you can find the time in your schedule. I will tell you this. If you don't have time to serve Jesus, your time priorities are completely backwards. That's hard today, isn't it? That's hard to hear. Some people are going to go, well, I'm just turning this off. I'm turning this YouTube channel off. I'm turning this Facebook channel off. Some people are going to go away saying, yeah, did you hear that? That was for you. And actually, it's for you. It's not me. I don't know your heart, but I know the Lord does. What are you doing? What happens is when we sit there and use excuses to minimize what it is Jesus wants from us, you know what we've done? We've picked up a weight. We're carrying a weight around. And by the way, I didn't say that the things that you're doing aren't good things. They can be really, really good things. But they could also be the opposite of what Jesus wants for you to do. Satan loves to hand us really good things to keep us distracted from doing the great things that God wants us to do, doesn't he? Listen, we've all fallen prey to that. We have all been a part of that. What is your priority? Listen, when you stand before Jesus, a lot of us are going to go, oh. And let me kind of put it in the context of time once again. You go pick up a grain of sand and hold it up there and look at it on the end of your finger, and that is your life compared to all of eternity. All the sands of the beaches of all the world is just a tip of the iceberg of all of eternity. That's what your life is. That's the small segment of time that God has given us to represent Him here on this earth. I don't know about you, but eternity's a whole lot longer than this old world, and I'm looking forward to being there. Lay aside the weights, verse 1, and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Listen, it's easy. Have you ever been frustrated with yourself? How many times have you ever gone back and said, we've pulled a Paul? And when I say we've pulled a Paul, we've sat back and said, Lord, why is it that I do the things that I shouldn't do and I don't do the things that I should do? You been there? It's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, you just want to be, why is it that I do these? And by the way, they don't have to be bad and terrible things. They just have to be things that are outside of the purview of what God wants us to do. Why is it? We need to lay those things aside and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And it says, and let us run with endurance. Now, I want to hit that for just a moment. Endurance. What is endurance? What does that mean? You know what endurance is. You know, being able to keep something up for a long period of time. Now, let me just kind of bring this in. If I decided to go out and run a marathon, that's what, 26 miles? 26 miles. Do I look like the specimen that's ready to go out and run 26 miles?
No.
Now, Jonathan might come over and say, hey, let's go run a marathon. I might say, yeah, let's go. Now, let me make it very clear to you. If I'm not in a ditch with a heart attack just a little ways down the road, I will promise you he's going to go further than I am. You know why? Because he has built up his endurance by practice. You see, you don't go out and start to run a 26-mile marathon cold. You train for it. You go out and you start off and you work on a mile. And if you're like I am, you know, you run that first mile and you're like, I ain't never going to make 26. But then what happens is when you keep on pushing and you keep on pushing, before long, you're running that mile pretty easy. Then you start pushing it to where you go to 2 miles. And then you're like, you know, I think I can do this. And generally, it starts to build up. And before long, you get to that point where you just like a deer. You just go out and run all day, right? You don't start off and do that cold. But here's what you've got to do. You have got to be patient, and you have got to have endurance. I want to tell you a pet peeve as a coach, as somebody who's done some coaching. It drives me insane to see somebody quit in the middle of a play. When somebody makes a hit and they realize that they're going to be thrown out at first, so instead of running it out at first, they just put the bat down and go on back to the dugout. That drives me crazy. That doesn't mean, listen, there's going to be adversities along the way. There are going to be adversities in your life personally in the same way that there are adversities within our church. But the question is, are we going to quit? Are we going to walk away? And people sit back and say, well, it just doesn't look like it's supposed to look. Let me ask you this. Do you think it looked like it was supposed to look based on society for Noah? No. Let me tell you something. Every one of us would have looked at Noah's resume and said the guy was a failure. Why? And y'all are sitting there going, what are you talking about? Noah preached for 125 years. I felt like I was doing pretty good at 30. He's preached for 125. And guess what? He only had a handful of converts, and they were his family. I mean, listen, mama would feel sorry enough for me to get saved over and over and over again so the stat wouldn't be zero. Because that's what mamas do. You know what I'm talking about. And how easy is it for us to get discouraged when it doesn't look like what we think it should look like? Back to Noah for just a minute. He preached 125 years. The only people that got saved was his family. But he was a tremendous success because he did exactly what God called him to do, and he endured while he did it. Quitting is easy. We have a society of quitters today. Don't be that. Don't quit on Jesus. Don't quit on your church. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on yourself. Get in there and dig until the end. Because remember, your life is but a grain of sand, but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and vanisheth away. I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. Don't you? It doesn't mean that it ain't been tough. It don't mean that there's not going to be some scars. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be crawling across that finish line. But whatever it takes, let's finish well as a body of Christ. Let's finish well as a person who's been saved by the grace of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Let's finish the race. Don't quit on me now. How many times has there been encouragement when you feel like you just can't go on any further and somebody has come up and said, come on, man, you can do this. Come on, man, I'm with you. Let's go. And you look up and you see the crowd cheering you on saying, go, you got this. Let's do it. Doesn't it give you a little something extra? Or are you looking at the other side where old Satan's saying, you need to just lay down and quit right where you are. You ain't going to finish. You're not going to win. Folks, my prayer is that we finish well. No matter what it looks like. Listen, God does not judge success in the same way that the world judges success. Noah was a perfect example of that. So he's telling us what we need to do. That verse 1 says there's people watching. Let us lay aside the weight. Let us lay aside the sins that are keeping us back, that are holding us back, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How you doing in the race? How you doing personally in the race? That don't mean that there's not going to be some times where things have gotten so tough that you have to walk instead of run. There might be some times when you have to crawl instead of walk. Y'all know what I'm saying? But eventually, you're going to catch your breath. Eventually, the cramp will go away. Eventually, if you have the right heart, you're going to get back up on your feet. And you're going to start forward in the race again. You know, one of my things is I've always been a person that's had a goal. And I hope that you're that way as well. But what happens when you win when you cross the finish line and you have achieved the goal? I don't know about you, but for me, I'm the guy that goes, "Yay! What's next?" See, I've gotten so used to running the race, I got to find me another race to get in. Now, by the way, the spiritual race doesn't end until you draw your last breath or he blows the trumpet, one of the two. That's why it's a marathon and not a sprint. That's why it's going to be some uphill battle. You know what I loved? I hated the uphill parts of the race, but you know what? I really enjoy the downhill parts because it gives you a chance to rest, don't it? Particularly on a bicycle, you can just feel the breeze, man. I was like, oh, downhill, thank the Lord. But you know, here's the one thing I've learned in life. You might enjoy the downhill, you might enjoy the rest, you might enjoy the breeze, but just on the horizon is another hill to climb. Don't get discouraged. Are you going to climb the hill? Verse 2 goes on and tells us, it says, looking unto Jesus. That's where our strength comes from. We can't do it in and of ourselves. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, Jesus is saying, be like me. As he goes on in those passages, and I'm just going to read them for the sake of time, but verse 5 says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Discipline. We discipline our kids, don't we? Why? Because we don't want them to be little brats that are hated by society. That's what it is. That's why we do that. We want them to do things good and right and proper. We want them to be good adults. Good adults start when they're children and what we do with them. Then in verse 14, he says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Have you thought about that? See, what happens is we have become people that hate one another. Our society can't stand each other. And it's gotten worse. The pandemic made it worse, didn't it? People you don't even know. And we just snap at people. We're testy with people. And we allow a root of bitterness to take hold of our hearts and our lives. And what happens is when something takes root, it begins to grow. It says in verse 15, springing up to cause trouble. And by this many have become defiled. We need to be what Jesus wants us to be in our personal lives and in our corporate lives, because if we don't, we will never be the type of representative for Jesus that people want to see. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. So I want to ask you this. There's 10,000 other things I could say, but here's the one thing I want to ask you. How are you doing in the race? How you doing? Are you running? Hey, listen, some of you are crawling up the hill. If that's you, here's what I want you to understand this morning. I'm coming beside you going, you can do this. Come on, you can do it. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Come on, listen. You're almost there. You're going to crest the hill in a minute. You got this. You can do it. Y'all remember the very first Rocky? How many of y'all saw the Rocky movie years and years ago? Y'all were pulling for him, weren't you? I mean, even those of you who may not have been, you might have been the one that sits in the movie like, listen, at the end of that thing, you were pulling for Rocky, man. You were up on your feet. You were sitting there going, come on, man, you can do this. Like he was a real person, wasn't you? I said, why don't we do that with real people? You can do this. We need to finish well. We've all started. How are we going to finish? And here's the really cool part. I'm going to ask our musicians if they'll go ahead and take their place for us to begin our invitation. Here's the great part. The results of this are not up to me and you. Isn't that great? You know what? God told me I need to preach His Word, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't convict any heart out there. I am not you. I can't turn your life over to Jesus. All I can do is turn mine over. So God has said, I want you to be faithful to preach the Word of God. That is what He has called Central Baptist Church to do, to be faithful to preach the Word of God. The results are up to Him. The question is, are we listening to Him? What's He saying to you? Central Baptist Church has seen great, unprecedented victory. But we have also seen some great, unprecedented defeat. The question is, how do we react to that? What do we do next? Do we say, oh, I'm good, I quit? Listen, we're in a world of quitters. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. I can't stand a quitter. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stay with it. Stay with Jesus. If you're just making a snail's pace, you're still going forward. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because you know what? You might be ready to quit right about the time the terrain changes and the Lord breathes new life in you. I can't think of the exact proper term, but for those that are runners, they get to the point that particularly in long distance running marathons where you just feel like you can't make it anymore. I mean, you're like, I'm done, I'm finished, I quit, or whatever. And then they call that hitting the wall. Is that the proper terminology for my run? You hit the wall. But then once you hit the wall, you break through it. And then all of a sudden you feel like you could run another 26 miles. You don't want to, but you feel like you could. You hit that wall and you break through it. Have we broken through the wall on our journey with Jesus? Are you here today saying, I just can't do this anymore? Don't quit. Keep on going. Listen, get somebody in your life. Get you cheerleaders there. And by the way, that's what we should be. You know what a tragedy in church in America is today? We're not the cheerleaders for each other that we need to be. We need to be sitting there going, come on, you can do this. I got faith in you. Come on, listen, just one step, put one foot in front of the other one. You can do this. Come on, listen, we'll get on your side and we'll help you. Now, instead, what we do is say, well, I'll tell you one thing, if he had just trained better, he wouldn't be in that position. That is not godly. That is not spiritual. That is not what the Lord wants us to do. And we wonder why struggling Christians can't even trust their own brothers and sisters to encourage them through tough times. Last time I checked, we're not supposed to be judges. And the last time I checked, I like the philosophy of no man left behind. I've said this before in the military. I actually think it was the Army, the way it used to be. I don't know how it is now, but if a guy went down, the first guy by grabbed his pack, the next guy grabbed his rifle, and the third guy grabbed him. You didn't leave anybody behind. It's time not to leave anybody behind. We're a team. God has placed us strategically here as a team. How much playing time are you getting? Oh, that's up to you. How much playing time are you getting? Listen, a quarterback can't do it alone. He's got to have a front line to block for him. He's got to have running backs to hand the ball off to. He's got to have wide receivers to throw the ball to. Where are you? You just sitting over on the bench with a clean uniform saying, I just don't like the way this team's coached. Are you sitting back saying, I'm just tired? Let me tell you something. We all tired, aren't we? We're all tired. But by the grace of God, if I go down, I'm going down swinging. I'm going to finish this race. And I'm going to drag you with me. So today and every day, I'm your cheerleader. Come on, let's go. Do I need to get some pom-poms and go, let's do this? I got faith in you. I got courage in you. Let's do this, and let's do it together, that when we cross the finish line, we might hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I'll make you ruler over many. And may when our time comes, we be able to say like Paul, I have run the race. I have finished the course, and henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Or will you be sitting there going, oops, I thought I had more time. Oops, I wish I would have done this better. I wish I would have done that better. Well, let me tell you something. If that's what the Holy Spirit's put on your heart, there is no better time than the present to get it right with Him. I still believe with all of my heart that some of the best days that Central Baptist Church has in store lie ahead of her. But we have got to run the race, and we have got to finish the race. Are you going to run the race? Are you going to quit? Not somebody else's responsibility, it's our responsibility. That means you. We live in a world that's so non-committal on everything. It's crazy, isn't it? Hey, do you want to do this? Well, I don't know. I have to see. No, what you have to do is put it on the calendar and plan to do it. I love this term, and I'm going to promise I'll be quiet. You have to purpose to do it. What has God called you to purpose to do that you are not doing? Oh, Satan will hand you 10,000 reasons why you can't. You're busy. You're not good at it. You're not the right person. Well, listen, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to him, or are you going to listen to God, who says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? I'm not going to ask you to do something that I haven't equipped you to do. That doesn't mean that you're going to be old paint out of chute number four right out of the gate. Some things take practice, don't they? But the more you do it, the better you get. I believe with all of my heart that church needs to get back to the basics. Reach people for Jesus and disciple them to serve Him. It ain't about buildings. It's not about all the fluff and stuff. Jesus says, you be faithful to do that. That's what I've called you to do. And you know what else He said? You'll have a small crowd. Because you don't look like the world. And as long as I am where He wants me to be, I'm okay with that. How about you? Just like Noah, people would sit back and say, man, that dude was done up. You know what the Lord said? Well done. Did exactly what I asked you to do. Thank you for your faithfulness and your obedience. Are we being that today? You see, because Central Baptist Church is not done yet. And Central Baptist Church is not a physical location. It's a people. And right now, you're it. What is He calling us to do? What is He calling us to be a part of? To see Him flourish in our lives, in our church, and in our community. For the cause and the glory of God. Not ours. For His cause, for His glory. I'm ready to get this thing going. You can do it. You can do it. Will you join me as we do that? Listen, first of all, have you trusted Him? It's about a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not about your church attendance. It's not about your Sunday school class. It's not about any of that. It's about whether or not you have taken a moment in your life to understand that you are a sinner, you are on your way to hell, but what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross can change your eternal destination. Have you been able to say, Lord, I admit it. I'm a sinner, you know, and I need you as my Savior. I believe what you did on Calvary's cross. I believe in the resurrection. I believe you are coming back. And Lord, I am yours. Have you done that? Right now is the accepted time. If not, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. Yes, and if you did that, then I can promise you that he did. And some people are sitting there going, oh, you're telling people. No, listen, what I said is Jesus in you changes you. Following him comes after that, okay? But have you trusted him? Have you confessed that? Maybe you're here today, and here's what the Lord has said. None of us like to hear this. He has said, you're lazy. Has the Lord called you lazy? That is not fun to hear, is it? He says, you need to be about my business. I have given you talent. I have given you ability. And you can't even seem to find time to sit down and read a chapter in my word on a daily basis. You're too busy. You can't seem to find a time to make an appointment with me, the author and finisher of your faith. You're too busy. You can't seem to take the talent and ability that God has given you and utilize it for his honor and his glory. Well, let me tell you, a reckoning day is coming. What are you going to do? Maybe you need to say, Lord, like the prodigal, today I'm coming home. I don't know exactly all the ins and outs of what you want me to do, but Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Encourage me today. Help me finish well. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I don't know what decision the Lord has put on your heart in just a moment, but as Brad makes his way up here, we're going to have our time of invitation. This is a time where you make commitments to the Lord. What is it that he has dealt with your heart about today? What aspect of this scripture has he put in your heart today? Listen, make sure that you deal with him today, that when you leave this place, you do so different than when you came in. If you need me, I'm here. I believe in an old-fashioned altar call. The altar's here. If you need it, it is here. You know, if you need us to follow up with you, if you need some assistance, if you're part of our online audience, let us know. You know, Dr. John is back there. He's monitoring. He'll let me know. We'll get up with you. If you trusted Christ, let us know because we want to celebrate with you. That is what this is all about. Have you reevaluated today on this homecoming 2022? Are you in the right heart? As we stand, as we sing, you do business with the Father. Thank you. continue in prayer with the Lord. I'm just going to ask that you continue to pray for those around you. If you're in the right heart and in the right spirit with the Lord, then amen. I am so tickled. Our future looks bright. What is it that God has asked you? If not, listen, what is God putting on your heart that you need to do in serving Him in a greater way? Make sure it's right. I'm going to ask our ushers as we continue our invitation to make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. We again are grateful for the provision that you provide in each and every one of our lives. Lord, everything we have comes from you. Now, Lord, as we come to this time where we give back that small portion that you've asked us to give back to show our trust and our faith in you, to thank you for that provision in our lives. Help us to be faithful in doing so. Lord, that you might bless us and bless us on an even greater plane. So, Father, bless the gift and the giver, the tithe and the offering, as we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple of things, and then we'll get everybody moving in the direction of getting a bite to eat. Don't forget, it is homecoming today. We do have our homecoming meal prepared over in our multi-purpose building right next door through that door, and then make a left. We'd love to have you join us. Be sure to stick around. We'll fellowship together, and we will celebrate the birthday of our church. Let's just say it in that regard. Also, next week is the deadline for getting our graduate information. We do have graduation Sunday that's going to be coming up in June. This is the time when we recognize those that are affiliated with our church for graduation. We celebrate with them the high school or college graduations. There is a form. I think there are some in the narthex here. There are also some outside of Debbie's office over there. Please, 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 the deadline for that is next week. So if you know, we have a special gift that we will give them as we recognize them. So we need this information. So I can also brag on you a little bit. So be sure to let us know. If you don't have one of those, you can call Debbie in the office this week. She can email you a form, or you can pick one up and fill it out here. We need those by next Sunday for the June graduation Sunday. Also, next Sunday evening, which is May the 22nd at 6 o'clock p.m., we will be having a music night here. So come and join us. Don't forget, we don't have evening activities this evening because of the fact that it's homecoming. As a matter of fact, I think May is one of those months where we usually, because of Mother's Day and homecoming and Memorial Day, we generally don't have a lot of Sundays that we have a Sunday evening worship. So next week, because we have five Sundays, we've moved it from a fifth to a fourth so we can make sure we have a music night. We'd love to have you be a part of that. If you would like to participate, you can see Brad. Brad will make sure he can get you lined out, and we're just going to have a wonderful time of celebrating together. So at this time, I'm going to call on Marcia. Marcia's got some things she needs to share with our church. Marcia, if you'll make your way on up here so everybody can hear your illustrious voice, and our folks that are watching online worldwide, don't let that scare you, can have an opportunity to hear your voice.
From your personnel committee, we would like you to know that we have
Thank you, brother.
A job description for a new part-time music minister. We'll be presenting that at the business meeting next Sunday night. You were required 2 weeks' notice for that. The job descriptions are in the narthex, if you'd like to pick one up to look at that. Okay, and other things, I'd like Roy and Jana and Blake to join me up here, please. Okay. 20 years ago today, on Homecoming Sunday 2002, Central Baptist Church called Reverend Roy Carter and his family to join us in our church. I asked somebody on the pulpit committee, what does he look like? And we had a get together, you like to know these things before you come in. They said he has a flat top, flat top haircut, and just like other Baptists, he's eaten more than he should. But if you'll look, he's all trim now. 20 years here have done him a good job. I'd like to thank Pastor Roy for your steadfast Christian service, and especially getting us through the pandemic. And I'd like to thank Jana, who has given her heart to our children. We need more children right now, and she's trying her best to keep things going, and we appreciate that. Then Blake, I've never ever asked that child to do one thing that he didn't just jump right to it. He has just been amazing. He was not even started school when they came here. Now, last week, he is a magna cum laude graduate of Liberty University.
Amen.
Anyway.
God is good.
Anyway, we look forward to many more years together. Here's a little something from our church, and appreciate it. I'm not a speaker.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Yes. She's been beside me, behind me, out in front of me, and I will say this before we say the blessing and go eat. It's kind of like that old joke that preacher said. He looked in the cabinet one day and he said up in the top there was a bowl and had some eggs in it. Y'all probably heard that one before. And so the preacher asked his wife, he said, well, honey, what's this bowl that's got these eggs in it up here? And she said, every time that you preached a really bad sermon, I would put an egg in that bowl. And the preacher looked at it and he said, well, you know what? He said, for 30 years, that's not really bad. Just three bad sermons. That's averaging one bad sermon, per decade. He said, that's pretty good. And then he said, beside that, he said, honey, he said, you got like a stash jar that's just got all kinds of cash in it. What's that for? And she said, well, every time I got a dozen of them eggs, I sold them. So, but thank you all. We do love you. We have, it's been a blessing to our hearts, each and every one of you have, in the opportunity to serve the Lord for 2 decades at Central Baptist Church. You know, I think of a lot of folks that have been a big part of that, that have been a part of my life, that are with the Lord right now, that I don't know, I get choked up when I think about them. That just been a great part. I know we still have a good future ahead of us. We're in a valley and we're climbing a hill, and that's kind of hard to do, but watch us do it. We can do those kind of things. But I want to thank her as well as Blake, whom we affectionately call Bubba, for always being there through the thick and the thin and the good and the bad, and I love them. Thank you, babe. So,
don't forget the birthday.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to. See, she's still keeping me in line. Real quick, before I send us out of here, don't forget, this coming week, our birthdays that we have, Dr. Pete Enover will be celebrating a birthday this coming Thursday, and Ansley Fondo on Saturday. So if y'all going to get to catch up with her, or is she just in the wind? If she's just in the wind. Well, like I said, if you do electronic stuff, send her a howdy, a shout out, or let Debbie know. If you let Jonathan know, it'll never get to her. You let Debbie know, it'll get there. But nonetheless, listen, we love you guys. Please join us. I'm going to go ahead and say our closing prayer as well as return thanks as we get over to the building. If you're not sure where that is, go out this door and then make a left. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to be kind and loving to one another. Here's what we'll do. I'm going to say the blessing, but when we get over there, just wait for just a minute, because I want us to honor our senior adults. Let's allow our senior adults to go through the line first. Those that may have trouble standing or what have you, we're going to let you go through the line first. I'm going to say the blessing and everything. We will reconvene over there, and then I will let you know once again. Senior adults or those who are having a little trouble, we'll get you in that line first. I'll see you over there in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. And Lord, we cannot begin to imagine or express the joy that you bring in our hearts, Father, to just have the opportunity to be able to serve you. Lord, I thank you for the faithful ministry of Central Baptist Church over all these years. Father, we see further down the road because we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And Lord, I pray that we will continue to fight the good fight. Lord, I pray that we will continue to strive to finish well. Lord, to be understanding that it is you, the author and finisher of our faith, who will give us strength. And Lord, help us to understand that success should be measured by heavenly standards, not earthly standards. Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the placement of our church in the town of Oak Ridge. May we be diligent about reaching this town with the gospel of Christ. Lord, give us the tools that we need. Give us the vision that we need to be able to do so. And Lord, we just ask right now that as we go next door, as we fellowship around a meal, we thank you for the meal that's been prepared. We pray you'll strengthen and nourish our bodies with it. And help us, Father, to serve you better as we go into the future. For Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, I'll meet you right next door, and then we'll get our senior adults and those who have a little struggle getting through the line.